right. Can y'all hear me all right? Hi, everyone. It's my pleasure to be your host today for this panel. My name is Carla Pinheiro Sublett, and I'm on the board for the Texas Conference for Women. And it is just an honor to be part of this organization that is really has the mission to inspire and propel the next generation of female leaders at work and in the community. I have the great pleasure of hosting this session. I want to thank you all for participating and making the transition on social media from personal to professional with Alex Wolf. And in speaking to Alex and trolling her last night over social media, it's really impressive the brand and tone that she has built as an entrepreneur. She launched Boss Babe just 3 years ago, and the recognition that she's getting is astounding to me as a CMO. So in just 3 years' time, she's been named by Fast Company one of the top most creative people in business. And then very recently, Adweek listed her as the top 20 influencer who radiates creativity and gets everyone talking. I mean, I can't think of better accolades. I'm a little bit jealous. So please put your hands together for Alex Wolf. I'd like to welcome her to the stage.
Hello, everyone. You all look beautiful today. So I was asked to talk about how to turn your... Who here has social media? Raise your hand. Yeah, I had a feeling. to talk about how to make yourself more presentable on social media for potential employers. You know, you guys are getting older. You're going to have to integrate yourself in the workforce. And it sounds like... You know, turning professional, it sounds like it's a boring task, but I think it's actually exciting and it's a great new way to reintroduce yourself as an individual into the world. So here, I want to ask, who here uses Instagram the most? Instagram, okay. Snapchat, okay. Facebook. So, and I'm sure you already have a feeling that different social media sites attract different types of people. How about LinkedIn? Okay, that's totally fine. So I'm going to spend the first 10 minutes of me talking about how to just sort of clean up your social media, because believe it or not, employers do sort of check to see, you know, who they're hiring. They want to make sure that you're someone they can rely on and depend on. And then after that, I'm going to talk about why everyone in here by the end of, let's say, tomorrow should make a LinkedIn, even if you're in high school, even if you just got out of high school, even if you don't have a job, because I'm going to tell you how and why you'll be ahead of the pack and have to... You'll be working smarter and not harder by doing that. And then lastly, who here has any interest in having like a side hustle or starting their own business? Raise your hand. Okay. So just to let you know a little bit about my story, after I got out of high school, I started a business, obviously, and it was one of the scariest things I've ever done, but it paid off. And I think it's awesome for anyone who has, even if they don't want to start a full-time business, even creating some sort of side hustle, some kind of job on the side, you also in that way prove to be a great potential employer or employee for an employer, because it shows you have leadership skills and you can take calculative risks and they like that as well. So what goes without saying as far as cleaning up your social media is obviously we want to make sure you're presenting your best self. So you don't want to use social media to pour out, you know, the breakup you just had or something a little too personal. And you want to just, yeah, you want to make sure that what you're presenting are the highest parts of yourself, because if an employer is looking, you want to impress them. And so I want you to think of right now some photos or parts about you that represent the best parts of you. What are those? What talents do you have? What's interesting about you? What can you use to showcase what makes you unique? And, you know, you want to make sure that also social media is It's really just a place where all these human beings are going to meet in one platform. So as much as it can feel like a really digital experience, and as much as you're thinking about followers and likes and comments, you really want to remember at the other end of every phone is a living, breathing human being just like you. So with that being said, you want to make sure you're making real connections, that you're being polite, that you're being presentable, because it's sort of like you're entering this virtual room or this virtual world. And just like you would enter this room, you want to make sure that you're being, you know, polite and respectful. And as far as it's just like any other social setting where you want to be careful about extreme opinions that you might have, unless it's relevant to what you're pursuing in the workforce. Anything about politics or religion, you know, it's common social etiquette to make sure that you are staying away from too harsh of opinions if it's irrelevant to who you're trying to connect to. And the other suggestion I have for cleaning up your social is to show the cultured parts of you. So if you've ever traveled, show that you've traveled, show what you loved about traveling. Or even if you haven't traveled, talk about how you want to and where you want to go. One thing I've noticed is if you showcase that you like a certain kind of music or art or books, these are great ways to connect with people without putting the pressure of trying to network. So if you relate over the fact that you like the same, you know, Beyonce CD as someone else, or not CD, geez. And what is it, an audio streaming service? That's a great way to, again, so much about networking, you guys, is first of all, you want to try to take as much pressure off the situation as possible. So when you're trying to impress whoever you're trying to impress professionally, going to them with sort of a dynamic of in which you're trying too hard can actually work not for you. And so what you want to try to do is find things that you have in common with that person and actually become friends. And another suggestion I have too is that when I was beginning networking, I felt like, okay, who's the most important person in this room? I have to impress them and I have to climb up that social ladder. And so much about networking is really working horizontally. So finding people who have similar interests as you, and even if they're not in the, you know, realm of where you think is the most impressive, they probably will be in 3 to 4 years, right? And so will you. So keep that in mind as you're networking. So like I was saying, be cultured. If you just read a book, talk about it. I'm sure all you guys got the Option B book. That's a great example. And talk about your opinions. What did you think? You know, what stood out to you? Because every time you express yourself, you're giving people an idea of the kind of person you are, which is really what we're trying to do with social media. And then the last thing is have some personality, because when I heard when they're like, oh, teach them how to be professional on social media, I just thought of like being in a box. And I think so many of us feel like, oh, if I'm professional on social media, I have to have like a corporate headshot and I can't, you know, talk about anything that I'm passionate about. But that's not true. I think many employers, especially nowadays, are trying to look for people who stand out, have some flavor, have some passion, and don't be afraid to show that. There's ways to do that without taking away from, you know, what you can offer as an employee. So don't feel like you should box yourself in. And social media is a great way to express yourself. Who in here feels like they're a creative person? Raise your hand. So beautiful. And I feel like that's what appealed to me about social media is like, wow, this is a place where I can just express myself creatively and show the things that I like. And I still do. So, all right, now we're going to talk about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is interesting because I feel like it turns a lot of people off, young people off, because again, it sort of feels like we have to fit in this box. And I really want to get you guys to reconsider that notion, because there's a lot of great opportunities with LinkedIn that I'm going to share with you. So the first thing, and it's super simple, if you know how Snapchat works, you can figure out LinkedIn, okay? So the first thing that's awesome about it is that you'll get your own customized LinkedIn URL. URL is basically just a link. So what happens is now that you guys are going to, you know, be looking for jobs and things like that, people will Google your name. And what's great about LinkedIn is that if you have a profile on it, if someone searches your name, they have great SEO and your name will probably pop up. Your LinkedIn profile will probably pop up first. And that's a great way to make that first impression instead of, you know, your Twitter popping up or your Snapchat or whatever. And it's also just a little bit more convenient and sleek. So at an event like this, instead of trading, you know, your Instagram, which is totally fine with your friends. But again, we're talking about in this professional context, right? If it's just a little bit, it sets the bar in a different way when you offer your LinkedIn profile. Say, hey, you know, connect with me on there. And it's sort of, and I would say also as a woman too, when you are connecting in business, even with, you know, women and other men, right? LinkedIn is sort of a great way to say like this, we're connecting for business and business only, which I think is a good asset to understand and know as you go out there as a woman in the workforce. So yeah, it's less casual than Facebook or Instagram. The second great thing about LinkedIn is that you get to make lasting connections. So who here has like a teacher who loves them, or you love a certain teacher that you're afraid to part from? And this could be like a leader, or not even just like a school teacher, but just someone like a coach maybe. So if you connect with them on LinkedIn, it's a great way to stay in contact with them, because I'm sure that teacher wants to see you go far. I'm sure they want to make sure if a great opportunity comes that you'll be that you'll be on LinkedIn so they can connect you to it. And again, it's just like a great way to stay in touch on that professional level. And it, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's this big weird thing that can happen when we're friends with people in our professional lives on the more social media sites like Facebook. And again, like LinkedIn is that great barrier. So make sure you connect with your teachers on LinkedIn. They'll be all happy, and they'll probably, there's a feature on LinkedIn called recommendations and endorsements. And it's basically you get to other people who care about you get to sort of confirm that you're someone who has value and that you are good at, you know, whatever you're good at. And that's a great way to, so it's a great way that for your profile to speak for itself instead of you trying to, you know, show off on your own. The third thing is that, so even if you don't have a job, you can still display the fact that you've won awards. There's a part on there where you can like list any accomplishments you've made. So anything that you were awarded in high school or, you know, in the beginning of college, that's something that you can flaunt. And if you do end up volunteering or intern or have an internship at somewhere impressive, that's something else you can list. And again, what you're really doing is, like I said, with professional relationships, you want to take as much pressure off. So the less that you, the more that you can have your profile speak for yourself, the more impressive that is. And again, takes that pressure off. So you're like, I did this and I did that. It's a little bit more, I would call like sleek, sophisticated, chic, in my opinion. And let's see. Because most of you don't have a LinkedIn, if you set one up today, it will show that you are serious about moving ahead. So in the next room that you're in, if you're the one young woman who does have a LinkedIn, you're already ahead of the pack because you're already thinking about it. And that will definitely be appealing to employers because it shows that you're serious. It shows that you've thought ahead, and that's a great attribute to have. So it shows that you're future focused, you're prepared, and it's an excellent display of professionalism. Next is, it's rumored to help with college applications. So I'm not exactly sure what age everyone is in here, but if you are applying to colleges, Forbes did announce that most top colleges don't have the bandwidth to, you know, search through your Snapchat and your Facebook. So good luck. I mean, or that's good for you that they're not doing that. But they do consider LinkedIn to be a little bit different. And that's because the brand of LinkedIn, the way that they've sort of positioned themselves is to have that different dynamic. And so colleges who won't have time to search through your Facebook will, again, have the convenience of searching that LinkedIn link and be impressed by what they see there. It's all laid out for them. And after that, one of the ways LinkedIn works is it helps you with your warm contacts. Does anyone know what a warm contact is? Or anyone wants to guess? So as you go into the workplace, you might want a job. Think about your dream job. It's there. And you might know someone who can help you get that dream job. It'd be amazing. You'd be making a great amount of money. You'd get great experience. What you can do is if you set up your LinkedIn and connect with the people you know, you can see how many degrees away you are from someone who might have access to give you that job. So if someone you went to school with knows someone who, you know, can give you that job, you can contact them. And basically a warm contact is just someone you can email without being awkward. That's like the best way I can put it. So you can say, hey, I really love to work for this company. You know, who do I need to talk to? Or can you put me in contact with who I need to talk to? That is so much better than what is called like a cold email or a cold contact, which is someone you don't know. And when you try to get something when you don't know someone, I mean, if I walked up to you and asked you for a job, and would you give it to me? Maybe, because you know a little bit about me. But you get what I'm saying. If you know that if we maybe got coffee together or we had the same teacher, you're at least a little bit more likely to be open to me. And that's just, you know, so much of networking is just understanding how human beings work. We like to connect with each other. We like to have a good time. And if you can do that, if you can understand that, then it's a little bit easier to get by. And let's see, I have two more, which I think you're going to like. Does anyone here have a blog or wants to blog? Oh, nice. Okay. Does anyone in here like writing? Okay. So there's a feature on LinkedIn where you can actually publish your best work. You can actually turn your work into a blog within their own site. So once you set up a profile, you can either take some work that you're already really confident in, maybe, you know, something that you got a good grade in or impressed someone, and post those up, even if they're just 2 to 3 pieces, right? And that's a great way, again, it's all about taking that pressure off. So say a potential employer does come across your site and they see you have these 3 amazing articles that you wrote. It gives them this insight on who you are, what you do, and again, gives them a different way to understand the type of person you are. It's all about self-expression. And if you do like to write, and if you do want to start a blog, LinkedIn is actually a great place to start, because if you start a blog with just a regular old website, it's going to be really hard to get people to look at it. Whereas with LinkedIn, there's already millions and millions of people on there, and you can tag your article with certain categories so that people who are interested in whatever you're writing about will come across it. There's just more of a likelihood that people will find it. So I totally recommend that. And if anyone wants to start a blog, I think that's an awesome way to get people to understand what you're about and get to know you on a different level. Then the last one is, who uses a Google Chrome browser on your laptop? Okay, this is my favorite tip. Get ready. I'm sure the adults are going to take notes on this one too. So there's an application that you can download, on Google Chrome. And basically this last tip is about how to contact quote unquote powerful people. And you can do that through LinkedIn because everyone's on there, all the powerful people are on there. And the application is called Contact Out. So what you do is, you know, you go on Google Chrome and you look at the applications, type in Contact Out, and you basically, it says like install on your browser. And what happens is, say you're trying to get that dream job and you don't know anyone who has, you don't have a warm connection to that dream job. What you can do is get there. Basically, what this application does is it gives you their email address so that you can contact them directly. Now, I'm going to warn you all that, remember what I was saying about cold emailing. There's less of a chance that someone will want to reply to you or invest their time in getting to know you if they have no reason to and no connection to you. So if you do ever contact someone through a cold email, there are ways to do it to try to get more likelihood of getting a response with those emails. And one of the main things you can do is, again, if you do have a blog or if you have any type of access where you can interview or feature someone, you can contact, you know, whoever this high, you know, powerful person, in this dream job that you're trying to get, and say, hey, My name is Alex, and I'm contacting on behalf of my blog. I blog on LinkedIn every Monday, and I was wondering if you'd like to be featured as a top, you know, whatever you're blogging about. Again, if you understand humans, humans like compliments, and humans like being featured in things. Raise your hand if you like compliments. So it changes the dynamic from, hey, can you, you know, get to know me and please give me a job, to, hey, I'm, you know, a professional and a young woman trying to, you know, network, and I would love to learn more about you. And of course you want to do this in a genuine way. Find people who you actually want to learn more about. And this is a great way to think about the coolest person you know right now. They're probably on LinkedIn, and there's probably a way to get to talk to them. Now, of course, this is not a guaranteed way, and they might not respond, and that's something else you should be prepared for as you, you know, move into the workforce. But you want to get comfortable with a certain level of rejection. You want to get comfortable with trying to, you know, present yourself, and people may be responding and maybe not. I'm not taking it personal. You're all young, and, you know, this is just the name of the game. So who is thinking about making a LinkedIn now? Raise your hand. Good. Yeah, and you don't have to be there on there all day. I know you're going to be on Snapchat anyway. just set it up, and it'll work for your advantage. Now I want to talk about side hustles, which is personally my favorite. So I started the brand Boss Babe a few years ago, and basically it started off with me just writing quotes on Instagram. And a lot of them were really sassy and really, they really just showcased how frustrated I was to be a young person who wanted to be successful. And I just felt like it was hard. It was hard. It was a lot of pressure to go out there and live the lifestyle I wanted to live. And through these quotes, I posted them on Instagram, and they sort of went viral. And the first day I had 100 followers, the second day I had 200 followers, and then the fifth day I had 500 followers. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, there are 500 girls who think like me. And now I think I have like 400,000 followers. And so I couldn't believe that so many people also felt this way. And what ended up happening is I know how to build websites, which is also a really cool thing to know how to do as a young professional. And I set up a website, and I was like, wow, if I can get, you know, a portion of these girls to pay a monthly fee to have access to network with each other, like, that's a really cool business. And so that's what I ended up doing a few years ago. And it's worked out very well, you know, thank goodness. And I do want to say too, I tried all different other types of businesses before that. It wasn't like I was like, oh, going to try a business, succeed. Like, no, I had to, I remember trying to sell candles online before. And I remember, yeah, just like all types of odd jobs. And I knew that I wanted to be a business owner. So I just kept trying and kept trying and kept spending money and losing money. And eventually this is what came to be. And so much of the brand is about empowering young women to feel like they can have, you know, a business and not have to sacrifice their femininity or the fact that they are a woman to enjoy that. Because I was the girl who was like showing up to meetings with, you know, I had these like jellies. Who knows what jellies are? I would like show up to meetings, you know, with like this, all types of like, I've always been into fashion, and I've always been into expressing myself. And I had a really hard time feeling like I couldn't do that in business, which I know is totally an entitled millennial philosophy, but it goes, you know, that's just how it is. And so I was like, hey, you know, I know girls who have pink hair and are signing, you know, all these deals. And like, why should I have to change, you know, these physical things if I can show up and do the work? And that's really what this brand encompasses. So with that being said, so much of what I've learned during this process is that many young women want to have, even if they don't want their own businesses, they do want to have some of that entrepreneurial spirit, which is really just about being your own boss in your own life and doing what you want on your own time. And as technology is advancing, a lot of employers are coming up with more flexible positions for the new women of the workforce, because we're like, you know, we want to do it our way. So, and luckily, you know, we are grateful to have that today because of so many other women before us who, you know, dared to go into the workforce and show up and prove that they're just as good as men when it comes to providing market value at these companies. So we get to indulge in being able to say, like, not only can we show up, but we can show up and have pink hair. So thank you for the women before us who did that. I want to talk about how you can start a side hustle with no money down. Usually when you start a business, you need some capital to get started, which you can do. Absolutely. You can get funding. You can use your own money. But there are so many cool websites now that actually provide resources where you can show up with an idea and make money. So who has ever dreamed of having like a t-shirt line or your own like hat line, or whoever is like, oh, I'm going to put that on a hat. Okay, yeah, you guys are cool. So there's this website called theprintful.com, theprintful.com. And what happens is you go on and you upload these graphics, and you can put the graphics on anything. You can put them on a mug, you can put them on t-shirts, you can put them on posters, you can put them on sweaters, on socks. And you don't have to pay for the, you don't have to like buy a big box of the shirts if you want to sell the shirts. How it works is that if one of your friends buys the shirt, this company will send the shirt with the design on it. They take their cut and you take yours. And you can price the shirt at whatever price you want. So this is a great, you know, and again, this is about having some fun. Like if you have a t-shirt idea, you don't have to like risk investing all this money and losing it. You can just sort of play around with the idea. And if it pops off, it pops off, and that's great. So that's a website I highly recommend. And it's actually what Boss Babe uses. We sell all types of merchandise, and we also don't have to hold inventory for it. It just ships out automatically, which is perfect for us. So I put Etsy on here. Who knows about Etsy.com? Okay, so Etsy is a little different. You would need some money to invest in your own things, but it's basically a great way to... What I like about Etsy is that they sort of set you up for success, and they have all these like digital classes that will teach you how to have a successful account. And basically, it's just a marketplace for handmade crafts and goods. So if you're... I know a lot of you are creative, you told me. So if you have an idea for... I don't know, I've seen all types of things, earrings, you know, jewelry, fashion, accessories, those get sold on there. And again, what I like about it is it really pushes you to be responsible. Having a business, forget having a dog, okay? Having a business is like, it takes a lot of responsibility, and you have to show up, you have to take care of each order, you have to make sure every customer is satisfied. And again, it's not going to hurt you getting the dream job you want, because a lot of employers like to see that, oh, wow, this girl, like, she can run a business. Like, even if she's selling, you know, 10 hats, like, that's really impressive. A lot of people can't do that. So you can sell physical products. The other thing you can think about doing is selling digital products. So you said a lot of you said you like to write, and you can write your own ebook. You know, you can sit down, write your stuff, and there's ways that you can publish on sites like Amazon, where, you know, whatever expertise you know how to do. If you know how to knit, you can write an ebook about knitting. If you know about, you know, anything, it can even be creative nonfiction or fiction, you can write it. And you, again, don't have to risk anything. You might, you know, it's again just seeing, like, do the people like what I have to, or like what I have to offer? And then the other thing that you can think about doing is online courses. There's a website called teachable.com. And literally, it's really simple. You make an account. They have different price tiers, but I think the first one is free. They just take a big chunk of what you make. And you can make your own course. Like, who has an idea of like what they could teach? Just think about it. Like an online course. And you can get really creative. And some of the stuff, like, usually it's the stuff that comes so simple to you that you can put in these courses. And people are like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And you're like, yeah, $35. two other sites, and I think we're going to open to questions, is Fiverr. Has anyone ever heard of Fiverr? Hey. Fiverr is basically this marketplace that started off where they were like, okay, you can... sell services for $5. So it's like make a logo or, you know, there's weird things like sing happy birthday in German. And you pay people $5 and they do it, you know, in like a couple days. You can, and there's people who've made businesses off of this, and they also do these things where you can add on. So say you're like, okay, I'll sing happy birthday in German for $5 and I'll do it in Italian for $10. And there's ways you can price them and sort of bulk that. It's an interesting place. Even if you don't want to provide services on Fiverr, if the day comes where you do have to design a website or a resume or something, go on there because there's a lot of cheap services that you can get for $5. And then the last thing, I have two little brothers and they want jobs and they're really good with computers. And I'm like, go on freelancer.com. Basically, it's a website. Again, it's a marketplace where people are looking for services to make their websites look nice, any kind of graphic design, or even social media management. Like if you're interested in doing social media, there are people on there who have budgets and will pay you. And I say it's like the new paper route. I don't know. Does anyone know what a paper route is? Okay, good. Yeah, so it's like there's so many creative ways, especially as a young person, to use the internet to make it work for you, both in looking for a job and in looking to create any type of business. So, yeah. I think we're going to open up to questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. So, Alex, I'm going to have you stay put just for a second because we are going to open it up for questions. But first of all, thank you so much. I think that advice was super practical and actionable. And I've been a part of this conference for over 5 years now. And I know that everybody's always hungry for real examples, and you gave us so much. So thank you for that. I wanted to call out some highlights of what Alex covered. And I think, you know, one of the things that she made very clear is that social media is a platform to show the best parts of yourself and the parts that you really want to highlight, that it has to be authentic, that you have to give people an idea of who you really are, give them some insight. And I think one of the things that she said that was most powerful is, remember, there's a human being on the other side, that it is real. I think the next thing she talked about was LinkedIn. So, and how LinkedIn can really be a resource for you and not to overlook it, in particular as it pertains to your career, and making sure that you use it to really leverage your network, your existing network, as well as growing it from there. And that it can also be a platform from which you can blog and start to give insights into your point of view and perspectives as a potential future employee or entrepreneur. She gave us some great tips on other platforms like Google Chrome. I did not know about Contact Me, so that's something that I'm going to implement as soon as I get home. Contact Out. So Contact Out. Thank you for the clarification. And then in talking about the side hustle, she gave us some real examples in terms of platforms out there that you can leverage, whether you have a digital product or a physical product, or you're looking to earn a little bit of money or just dabble. So I love the notion of a side hustle. So thank you, Alex, again, so much for some really practical tips that I think resonated with me, as did the jellies comment, by the way, because that was my generation. We rocked the jellies. Okay, so with that, we've got two microphones on either side, so I invite you guys to come up to the microphones if you have questions for Alex, and I'm going to bring Alex back up. We've got plenty of time, a solid 10 or 15 minutes, so don't be shy. She's got a ton of info for y'all.
We got a few coming up.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Well, my name is Fatima. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It's very nice to listen to you.
Thank you.
I was wondering exactly when did you start feeling like this? Because when did you start feeling like you wanted to make your own side hustle? When you wanted to start making something that was your own? Because I know that it can come differently to different people.
Mm-hmm.
I know like what I want, and it kind of started freshman year, but I didn't realize it till like junior year. or some people know since they were kids. And so I wanted to know when did your light bulb like turn on?
That's a great question. I believe it was when I was about 19, 20. To be honest with you, I was in school and I was paying my way out of school. And I was just wondering, like, what if I put my money into something else? Like, what would happen? And, you know, I called my parents and I'm like, hey, I don't think I'm going to school anymore. And, you know, it was tough for them. And I decided to put the money I was making through my jobs into, you know, my business. And it was so scary. Like, I, you know, it was, entrepreneurship is, it's really cool looking, but doing it is very scary, and it takes a lot of emotional endurance. And so, yeah, I would just say it was around, I'm imagining, around the time, you know, at the same age as you guys. And it was only a few years ago. You know, I'm 25 now, so it was, yeah, it did not come easily. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karis. It's nice to meet you. I'm a Girl Scout, as
hey.
You can see.
Nice.
I actually had a question. I started my own business when I turned 13.
Nice.
Because I told my parents, I'm like, this is what I want to do.
Nice.
Hopefully it's what I'm going to school for. Sometimes it gets really hard when, like, you don't really understand how to make yourself so public. So how do you stay motivated even when you're... buyers fluctuate and things seem kind of low?
That's a great question. So you're saying, like, how am I motivated even when things aren't going so great? I think a lot of it has to do with having a certain standard for yourself. So if you know that you have good, you know, good products, good services, you know, that I use that confidence so that I show up. So even if sales aren't booming, or even, you know, in the beginning of starting my business, it's like, you know, it was just an idea and a business card, right? Or in a website. And so I did have to show up. And I remember, like, seriously practicing in the mirror before I'd go to events. Like, if someone asked me, what do? I'm like practicing so I have something to say. And I think it's just believing in yourself. I know it's super cliche, but that's like the best advice ever. Just so everyone knows, it's like, if you know that you have good stuff, it's all about being patient so that the world catches up with you. And I feel like so many good business people understand that, and they stay loyal to their ideas. So I would say for you, just, you know, if you're confident in what you're providing, then just stick by its side and let the world, like, follow up, because it will. There was a time where, you know, Steve Jobs was like, oh, I have this idea for a personal computer, and people were like, what? That's crazy. An iPhone? That's nuts. And everyone has one in their pocket right now. So it's because he held on to the confidence.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Miriam, and I was wondering, how do you think being a woman of color has influenced your career?
Yeah, that's a good question. I personally feel like it's been an asset in many ways, just because there's so many preconceived notions about what to expect for being a woman, of color, and it's knowing that I can provide value in the marketplace, meaning, like, it doesn't matter how many men are in the room or what race they are. I feel like if I can say, hey, like, we have these numbers, like, you can't argue with my numbers. It's harder to be biased or racist or sexist, I feel like, when there's so much proof, where it's like, you're obviously going to lose out on this deal if you don't work with me. And I think it's unfortunate. I wish I didn't have to rely on that sort of hard data to have to feel that same sort of confidence or respect. But I feel like we live in a real world, and that's sort of what I've learned, and I've had to, you know, use that in my favor, and it works. So just making sure you're valuable in the workplace no matter what. But yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Hi.
Hi.
I'm Heidi. I'm a chaperone here with my high school girls.
Nice.
The question I have for you is if there's anything you could tell yourself going back to when you're in high school, or one thing you could have done differently being a young female in high school, what would you give yourself? What advice?
Thank you for that question. I think I was just talking about how in the past year, I really just allowed myself to be creative. And I think for a long time, I kept hiding. I kept like, no, don't be creative. Like, that's not, you know, the cool thing to do. That's not going to, you know, guarantee success. But after I've gotten, you know, a certain level of quote unquote success, I'm like, I really love being creative. Like, I love being creative so much that I don't care how much money I have, you know? And so I think if I were to go back, I would tell myself, like, look, you're an artist. Like, just, like, relax, like, you know, do your business stuff, but allow yourself that free, that creative freedom, because that's really what makes you happy. The money's great, all that stuff is great, but for me, my highest joy is having creative freedom. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dejanique, and I'm 15, and I was wondering, how do you present your product to a potential buyer or investor?
That's a good question. So I bootstrap my business, which means I use my own money to fund it. But I'm friends with a lot of people who have raised money. And I think a lot of it has to do with what the first thing you want to do is create what's called a pitch deck. So you can use resources like Canva, or there's this one that Google has called Slides. It's basically just a really cool presentation where you can concisely articulate what your product does and why it's valuable. And you want data, you want something exciting, and you want to get whoever you're pitching to realize that if they don't get in on whatever you're providing, that they're going to miss out. You really want to create a feeling of loss, because investors hate feeling like they might lose out on something. And also, it has to be something that good too. And I'm sure you're making that. But as far as getting investors, yeah, I think when I was young, I used to think, oh, investors, those are the really nice people who give you money. And it's like, no, those are the people who are trying to make money off of you, because you have the value. So just remembering that the dynamic is like, look, I have something you guys want, or you girls, or whoever, you women. And not making it like a please can we have, and more of like getting them to be like, please can we have. So creating that dynamic in your pitch deck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Jessica Moran from Austin Achieve, and I was wondering, what is one of the biggest challenges you have faced as being a woman entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm. I think entrepreneur. That's
how you spell it. Yeah. And how have you, like, gotten over it, or how have you deal with it?
To be honest with you, I think it's a great question. Entrepreneurship, again, like, there's entrepreneurship and there's instapreneurship. Instapreneurship are all the people you're following on Instagram that are like, yeah, business, it's great 100% of the time. And I think that what has helped me is understanding that this is a roller coaster. So instead of thinking it should always feel like, I know it feels like this. And because I know it feels like this now, I don't freak out if I'm going like this or if I'm going up and down. I'm like, okay, this is just how it is. Creating wealth, creating money in the marketplace is a very, you know, it's a very volatile sort of thing. So does that help?
Yeah.
Basically, just plan on being miserable at least a little bit.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Kessil Garcia. I'm a senior from Travis High School. Can you repeat the name of the website where you can do t-shirts?
Absolutely. It's called theprintful.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
My name is Jessica Jimenez. I'm from Yes Prep North Central. I just wanted to know, what inspired you to come speak to us today? Thank you.
That's a great question. I feel like just a few years ago I was you guys, so it's kind of like, where's the time going? It's all going to happen so fast. So like, you're here today, but in a few years, like, life is going to be so different, and in good ways, I think. And I was inspired by the idea of like talking to women who, young women who reflect, you know, where I was a few years ago. And I also just want to know how impossible I thought being where I am today was. Like, it just was something that I dream, but it was like having it, you know, is very like, wow, that's cool. So, and my point of saying that is that there's so much that might happen to you guys in the next few years that's super exciting, that the things that you think are so far away might be closer than they think. But you gotta work hard. You gotta work hard.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Hi.
I wanted to know, what was the moment where you were really discouraged and you wanted to give up, but you kept pushing forward?
When my dad was like, what are you going to do about health insurance? Yeah, I love my parents. And I know that they really want the best for me. And I'm sure all your parents want the best for you. But I think that, and I grew up with college-educated parents. It was very expected that I would, you know, take that more traditional route. And so what was really hard for me was, like, thinking, like, am I ruining my life? Like, is this, like, the worst decision ever? Because there was nothing, there was no success. There was just me taking a risk with, like, you know, a couple hundred dollars. And that was, getting over that hurdle mentally was probably one of the hardest emotional things I had to do to move forward.
Thank you.
Yes. And my parents are happy now. Yes.
Hi, my name is Victoria. I come from Kip Austin Collegiate. I was just wondering how you keep everything balanced. Like, I get that you're running like a whole business and you have your family, and then also like just getting more educated in what you're doing. Like, how do you keep all that sustainable in your life?
That's a great question. I don't believe in balance. I think that whole thing is a myth. I mean, if you want to open my laptop, I have about 13 tabs open, emails that need to be responded to. I don't think you need to be balanced to be happy, and I don't think you need to be balanced to be successful. I believe in, like, harmony. So, like, if I know it's a day where I need to take care of myself, that's what I'm doing that day. If I know it's a day I need to answer all those freaking emails, I'm going to do that day. And I think that's just, yeah, I think that's just a real a reality I had to embrace. Because me thinking I had to be balanced was stressing me out even more. You know what I mean? Now it's just like, oh, I just have to make sure this one thing is taken care of today. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a few more minutes. Anyone else have questions? These are great, by the way.
Hi, I'm Kat from St. Stephen's. I was wondering, when you were first starting out, how did you find people that wanted to collaborate with you?
That's a good one. All these are good. So I looked for people who are equally as hungry and ambitious. So because you guys are so young, no one's made anything yet. You all just have ideas. So find people who have ideas who complement yours. Or just, and even if they don't, people who you can call and be like, oh my gosh, this great thing is happening, and they're going to be there to be emotionally supportive or even just give you advice. Look for those people. And I feel like it'll happen naturally, because wherever you're going, whatever you're attracted to, whatever books you're reading, whatever websites you're on, they're hanging out there too. And yeah, just go from there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Diana, and I had a question. Can you expand on the emotional, like, problems you have in your entrepreneurship? Because I know there's a lot of highs and lows, and how did you deal with them?
Yeah, so they still happen all the time. I really believe in taking care of yourself, so understanding what you need to feel whole. So for me, you know, it can be something as simple as, like, making myself tea or getting a good night's sleep. Sleep is really important. How I deal with it is by taking a step back and figuring out, like, what does my body need right now? Like, what does my mind need right now? And not beating myself up for it, because I feel like so much of entrepreneurship, especially in the beginning, there's this, like, oh, you know, I don't, you know, we don't sleep, or, you know, it's like, there's all this pressure to be working 24/7. I think that's horrible. I think you get the best businesses and the best services from people who take care of themselves, especially women. And I also have been more sensitive to the fact that, you know, being a young woman, we have all types of stuff going on hormonally. And it's been kind of nice to figure out, like, oh, like, this is why I'm feeling that this way this week. Okay, I'm not doing that project, you know, and being sensitive to that. Because I think I used to beat myself up for that. And it's like, no, I'm going to work around my moods and you know, cater to them. Does that help?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Cameron, and I was wondering, how do you deal with people not taking you or your ideas seriously?
That's a great one. So much of why I started Boss Babe was because of that. I mean, I was showing up with jellies. I think it's really about business is a numbers game. And so when you show up proving that, look, I don't want you to look at my jellies. I want you to look at the spreadsheet. This is how much we were able to sell. Because, like I said, so much of your visual gets ignored when the numbers look right. And I've gone to meetings with people that, you know, don't look anything like me, but they take me seriously because, again, I have the numbers. People, you know, I like to say the only color that really matters is green, in my experience as a woman of color. So, and it's true. People pay attention to that.
Hello, my name is Mara, and I'm with Girl Scouts, and I was just wondering, you know, with you saying that you decided to not continue your education, mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like right now that if you had went back and you continued on with it, would your career be different now?
Yeah, I mean, I stopped going to school, but I never stopped my education.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, okay. I'm just making sure that, like, everyone knows that even though I wasn't going to school, I was still making sure I was reading things and understanding things. And part of it is, like, I'm so rebellious that what wasn't working with me with school was, like, read this book. And I was like, no, I want to read this book. So that I kept educating myself. I went to YouTube University. And as far as if I were to go back, no, I don't. I think, you know, and I'm not anti-school. I think school is excellent. Like, I want my lawyer to go to school, and I want my doctors to go to school. I just think that, you know, for what I was pursuing and the type of learner I was, no, I don't think it would have worked for me. I think if I didn't leave the first year, I would have left the second, sort of thing. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Super quick. So, before you became an entrepreneur, did you consider yourself a goal-oriented person, or was it just like, okay, I made a goal and I'm going to do it? Because I myself am faulty of, like, procrastinating on what I want to do. Were you always goal-oriented, or did you just start?
I'm very cautious about goals, because goals to me are sort of like balance, where it's just like, you know, goals, like, right in my face. And sometimes I feel like it can take away from the joy of whatever you're working on. So I have these macro goals, like what I want my day to look like. That's like my only goal, is like, what do I want my day to look like? What are the three feelings I want to feel every day? Because all these, like, material goals, I don't operate well under pressure. And I feel like that's all they do, is, like, make me feel like, and it's like, I'm not even enjoying my life, because all I'm doing is working towards these goals. Half of the time you get the goal and that doesn't even make you happy anyway. So, I focus more on, like, how do I want to feel? So I'd say for you, and especially with entrepreneurship, if you're going to pursue that, ask yourself that question, because you can feel pretty much whatever you want all the time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, I'm Bernice. I wrote it down on my phone. Wait.
Totally fine.
So when you got out of high school, did you automatically feel like an adult? or did you feel like you knew how your life was going to end up, or like what you were going to do?
I'm here to let you guys know that so much of growing up is that you always feel like you're growing up. And I think that, yeah, do I feel more mature than I was when I was 21? Yes, but I also know that I have a lot more growing up to do. I would say the most, like, mature thing to do if you are looking to feel more growing up is, again, learn how to take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, because whenever I do that, I feel really grown up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Out of time. We're actually out of time, but I just want to say thank you so much. Good luck. Get on LinkedIn, post a few things, and yeah, have a great time.